Word of mouth.
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 Mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Something scary is happening at Dryden High. Bizarre seizure-like symptoms are striking one teenage girl after another. The fits and reactions are captured on cell phone video and spread like an aggressive virus. If you can imagine everyone at the Salem witch trials carrying a smartphone, you've got just a glimpse of The Fever, the newest novel from the Edgar Award-winning author Megan Abbott. Loosely inspired by a widely publicized outbreaks of ticks and twitching among girls in a small western New York town, The Fever lets the mysterious illness loose among a clique of paranoid, gossipy, sex-obsessed girls perched on the scary edge of womanhood. Megan Abbott spoke with us previously about her book, Dare Me. This is another in the series of high school noir. And Megan Abbott, welcome back to Word of Mouth.
So glad to be back.
This rapid spread of symptoms or illness, in this case, seeming seizures or fits, is an actual psychological phenomenon. So in your research about this, what did you learn about mass hysteria and how it spreads?
So much. It was really fascinating to me. I mean, I guess we all know how this can work on the individual level. You know, say you're nervous about giving a speech and all of a sudden you start to lose your voice. Either the way that anxiety or stress can play itself out on the body. But I really wasn't aware till researching the book how easily this could happen. There's cases of a mass hysteria quite frequently, usually in small towns, tight places, and often frequently with teenage girls is the most common, though anyone is really susceptible to it. And they say now with social media, the spread could be even wider because it's spread by sight. You see someone with this symptom, you see someone with a tick, and you copy it. And now with social media, you can see things no matter where you are.
So what happens at Dryden High School, this atmosphere, small town, charged with hormones and secrets and shifting loyalties, when Deanie, the main character, her friend Lise, has a seizure, followed by Gabby? What do people suspect is going on in the town?
Right. It sort of brings out, everyone sort of projects their own personal fears onto what's happening, which is, I think, what we do when there's something we can't understand. So some people suspect it's some environmental catastrophe. Others suspect it has to do with the HPV vaccine, which is quite controversial now, that's given to girls at that age. You know, other people think that it could be something, you know, within the girls themselves, with even suggestions of some kind of demonic quality. So whatever anyone's particular darkest fear is, that seems to become their theory about what's happening.
It could be fracking. It could be
fracking, indeed.
This dead lake at the center of town. And we get all of these ideas spreading. And one of the parents says she doesn't want the truth. She wants an answer. I'd love to explore a little bit of that, this idea of sort of just stabbing around for an answer in a small town.
Right. I mean, I think, you know, parents are always anxious about their teenage daughters. And I think now that there seems to be even more attention to the dangers that teenage girls face. So I think it's somewhat natural. And you want to fix it as a parent. You want there to be an answer. None of us like to deal with the idea of something we can't explain. We want something where there's a shot to fix it, or there's a medicine you can take. What you don't want it to be, particularly, is something that might come from the mind, might come from trauma, might come from something that you, as a parent, may even be partially responsible for.
So what we have here is this high school cosmology, you know, this order of the universe. We have Deanie, friends with Lise, friends also with Gabby. You write that girls follow her around like magpies. Isn't it the way that the girl with the cool boots always finds the girl with the splash of pink in her hair? And we get these whispered conversations between them, these surreptitious texts that you seem to just nail. Megan, I'm curious, do you spy at high schools?
Sometimes I feel like I do. And it's so funny because, you know, I don't have a teenage daughter, and my teenage years were long before text messages and even really that cool of boots. But some things I think never change about being a teenager. And I think there is that sense. There's so much jealousy, particularly among female friends. It's so much about feeling on display and people watching watching you. And we all wanted to be that cool girl. We all wanted to sort of get some of that borrowed glamour from hanging out with her. So it's particularly in a small town, I think that all gets really large and feels very overwhelming to these girls.
And one of those afflicted posts on Facebook about what happened to her in the video is running on CNN, brings all this kind of media attention to the town. At one point, Deanie reflects on seeing the hospital scene with Lise, you know, imagining what it would be like in a TV movie. I'm just curious about your reflection on that. Like, how mediated the lives of young people in America are, and especially these young girls who are often the stars.
Yeah, what a great way to put it. I think that's so true. I mean, I think that it's hard to have an experience that you haven't already seen the TV or the movie or the video experience of it already that tells you how you're supposed to act. And I think for teenage girls, that's particularly so. You know, they see Miley Cyrus or whoever it might be, and these images of what girls are supposed to be like and look like, how they're supposed to dance or behave, how they're supposed to react to bad things happening. You know, they should cry like Beyonce. You know, I mean, so much of it is, it's such an, you know, they're just saturated by this so much of the time. So sort of finding themselves and their own feelings can be really hard. At least it is in the book. And trying to understand them amidst all that's happening.
Well, I was wondering what you might be working through. Lise, she's in this very precarious state. Deanie feels vulnerable, and she acutely feels this declining friendship with Gabby. There's almost like this delicate, you know, mobile of high school. You know, one person moves, it destabilizes everything else. What is it about girl power that so fascinates you and that you find so much rich material in?
Yeah, it's such an interesting question. I wonder that a lot. I certainly remember what it was like to be in those friendships of three as a teenager, where you do feel always that you may be the one that's being pushed out or you may be pushing someone else out. But I also think there's something about the teenage years that really is the preparation for all of us for the rest of our life. It's how we first understand ourselves and create ourselves in some way. And understand how power works and how, as a female, power may work differently. And maybe you may have to find more subversive ways to get what you want or get what you need or to find yourself. So I guess I'm still sort of trying to figure out how that happened and, you know, maybe trying to get it right this time.
Megan Abbott is with us. We're talking about her book called The Fever, a kind of high school noir, if you will, about mass hysteria that overtakes a high school in a small town. Very early in the book, there's this moment when Deanie thinks about what she's heard, that once you lose your virginity, you look in the mirror and it's not even you. You're changed. You know, growing up feels kind of dangerous and precarious, and you go from there to, you know, these young women having these seizures, these fits. It's like their body is no longer in their control. Tell me how you got
That's
to this
right.
kind of conceit or this idea of the
yeah.
fits.
Yeah, no, and it seemed in some ways, and I don't think about this when I write, I only figure it out afterward, but it is almost like the seizures become this metaphor for entering into womanhood or adulthood. You know, your body's changing, it feels out of control, you have all these emotions that you can't seem to be able to manage. Everyone is looking at you, and your parents are befuddled and terrified at what's happening to you. So in many ways, the whole contagion that sort of rips through the town is sort of a adolescence into adulthood writ large, and there's sort of no fighting it. You know, I've heard a lot of parents say that when their kids hit the teenage years, they think, who is this alien and what have they done with my child? And I think that I can see how it would feel that way. And I remember feeling different and looking different and being struck by it. So I think, yeah, part of the terror on another level is the terror of, oh my gosh, this is the adult world and I have to enter it. And the parents, the adults in the book, aren't all doing so great either. So I don't know how enticing that feels to these teenagers.
This is a population that is written about an awful lot, of course, with the huge popularity of young adult literature, the YA novel phenomenon. Do you think that young adults will actually understand this book? It seems to me that there are so many emotional layers that might not be accessible.
I think YA has become so rich and varied and complex a genre. I think almost the lines between YA and adult literature have started to blur. I think sometimes there's some far more lightweight adult books than some of the sort of edgier YA books. And it seems like from the early readers of this book that a lot of YA readers and teenagers are reading it. And I think part of it is this sort of idea that we still have as a culture that teenage girls want to think about, shopping and Justin Bieber instead of this other stuff, because that's sort of what we see in the media. But of course, teenage girls are pretty complicated and they're going through a lot of stuff right now. And it's a pretty hard time to be a teenage girl. So I think, I hope that it rings true for them. And I would love it to do so because, it's a hard time to be a teenage girl. And I have a lot of sympathy for what they're going through.
Well, Megan Abbott, a pleasure speaking with you again.
Oh, thank you so much.
Megan Abbott is author of The Fever and before that, Dare Me and several other books. You can find much more on The Fever, including some of the terrific reviews. We have links at wordofmouthradio.org.